All right. Well, we one down, and a lot of practices in front of us. We think we saw a lot of things yesterday out there that we can build on. Certainly, a lot of things we need to correct and improve on. So, just try to keep putting one foot in front of the other, string some good days together, and see how it goes here. Be another day without pads. We'll get into pads tomorrow. So, we've still got a lot of things that we can teach on today and prepare for our first pad practice tomorrow. But I thought the players are overall in decent condition and trying to work hard, so hopefully that'll continue.
You mentioned during minicamp or OTAs in general that it's tough for everybody to retain all that information when you get to training camp. Are you still sort of in the installation process, or are you kind of
reinstallation? They've heard it at least once, probably a little more, but you're right. There's been a gap, and we've got to reteach it, reinstall, familiarize ourselves with it. And part of that's part of the coaching too. I mean, we haven't been together for a few weeks, so there's a lot of little things, little fine points, positions that when you do one thing affects another one. So we need to do a good job of staying on top of that and not have crossed wires somewhere, but it's all part of the process.
Bill, the importance of taking a big leap in the second year. Tom yesterday praised Kemble Tompkins. What is it about him that is maturing? I mean, we can see what he does on the field, but what's he like behind the scenes as far as the work that he puts in?
Hardworking kid. One of our hardest workers, really tries hard to do everything right. Very attentive, very coachable, and he's a very hard worker.
Bill, I was curious how you decide where to start in training camp. Like yesterday, it seemed like we saw a lot of fade passes in the end zone. Like what leads to the decision to say that's what we're going to work on in the first training camp practice when you're starting a long process where you could basically start with it, anything?
Yeah, well, I think it's, for us, it's what our opportunities are, what we can work with. So, a lot of it was in the red area, so that's what's going to happen in the red area. Things that are going to happen in the red area, that's what we were working on. We worked on some goal line things, but it's hard to practice goal line, in the the practice uniform we're in. So, some of the things we're doing are in preparation for Saturday and beyond. And there's some things we've focused on to highlight, for these 2 days. I mean, it could have been different things. I mean, in the end, we look, it's kind of an end game. What do we have to have in by the first preseason game? What do we have to have in by the first regular season game? How do we get to those points in terms of basic installation, situational plays, game management, play calling, substitution, specialty, all those things. So, if you don't, whatever you don't put in now, you got to put in later. Whatever you put in now is covered. And, that's one thing you can kind of check off. Hopefully you can, get it right or close to right. But that's, it's a long list of stuff that you just have to do somewhere along the line. Whatever you do now, you have to do something else later. You could switch them. I don't think there's any magic to it.
Bill, what does the presence of Gerard Mayo both on the field and off the field do in season and out of season?
I think it means a lot to our team. He's, say, really the guy that the team probably revolves around more than any other player. Not that there aren't other players that are, instrumental in that, but I think he touches pretty much everybody, not just the defensive players, but all the guys, not just the older guys, but the younger guys. Even when he was captain in the second year, he had a relationship with the older guys. Now he's a more veteran player, but still pretty attached to the younger guys like Jamie Collins and Hightower, guys like that. In addition to other players not at his position, so he's got a great work ethic, great presence on the football field, and great personality. That's in a very good way professional, but also know, it's good rapport with all the players and the coaches. I mean, he's, you know, I think as well respected as any player in the locker room. I'd say one of the, you know, one of the best overall team leaders, players, you know, kind of a glue chemistry guy that I've been around.
When you look at that linebacker position and your tenure here, does he fall in line in a similar way to Vrabel and Brewski, for instance?
Or I'd say more Brewski, but different. Similar, but different. You know, I mean, Teddy had a little different personality, but, you know, a lot of the same characteristics. And played a position. I mean, look, when you play a position in the middle of defense, like playing quarterback, you're in the middle of the offense. I mean, you have to be, you know, the main communicator, the person that everything runs through. That's inherent in the position of, you know, linebacker or middle linebacker, just like it is in quarterback on offense. So some of that comes with the position. It'd be hard for a cornerback to do that, or, you know, a wide receiver. You know, I mean, they could do it maybe off the field, but it'd be hard to do it on the field just because that's not the way really the communication flows. But when you take players like that and they're in those positions, like Brewski was, or Gerard, then, you know, that all comes with it. And so it kind of, you know, helps to push it up.
Throw one more in that. When you're making an evaluation of a player who does play in the middle of either offense or defense, how important is leadership or the ability to relate to other players in the overall package, as opposed to, say, maybe a corner or a wide receiver?
It's very important. Yeah, it's very important. It's part of the job. I mean, it's just part of the job. You got to be able to, you know, do that, whether it's quarterback, center, you know, Copen or Wendy, guys like that, or defensively, you know, from Vince to whether it's Brewski or, you know, Gerard, Rodney, Dev McCourty. You know, I mean, you know, you need that, you know, down the middle. Or, you know, going back to Cleveland, you know, the Mike Johnsons and the Eric Turners and Steve Everett, and, you know, I mean, whoever those players are, like, those guys are, you know, they're critical for you in terms of the communication from the inside out.
Bill, I would only assume that there's no understating the presence of Darrell Revis with the secondary, but in what way does he help not only sharpen the tools of everybody around him in their, you know, respective toolbox, but how has he challenged Tom in that same thing, do you think?
Well, I think, you know, to this point, I mean, Darrell, you know, is just trying to learn a new defense, trying to acclimate himself to new teammates and communications and, you know, anticipations of formations and motions and patterns and things like that. So, you know, I don't want to say players aren't aware of who's out there, but I think at this point in time, and even in the spring where you have, you're rolling through, like, whatever position you play, the guys you're playing beside change, and the guys you're playing across from change, you know, if not every play, every two, three, four plays. So, you know, you're seeing different faces, you're working with different people, and I think, you know, you're really trying to concentrate on what you're doing and your job, your communication, your assignment, and there's a lot less, you know, what are they doing, who's that, which, you know, you're just trying to, I don't want to say play generically, but, you know, to a certain extent, just build your fundamental base and, you know, learn the defense and learn the offense, whatever it is, and, you know, understand the total play, how it all fits together, what you're trying to do, what adjustments we have to make, and so forth. You know, I think the matchup part of the game is, I wouldn't say it's not there, but I don't think it's there anywhere near to the degree where it's going to be there, where we start getting into a lot of competitive situations where you're working against certain guys in competitive situations. Not that it's not competitive now, but it can only be so competitive when you're not in pads. I mean, we don't want to go out there, you know, blowing people up and getting guys hurt and all that. So it's still a kind of a teaching tempo. But at some point that will change, and then there's certainly a difference between, you know, for a corner, which receiver's out there and what his skills are and which quarterback's out there and, you know, what combinations they can run and all that. So I think that's something that, you know, we'll evolve into at any position. I think right now it's just more of, you know, everybody trying to, you know, get themselves ready. And that's really what it should be, too.
Well, you've mentioned it's a time for teaching really still right now. I'm wondering how, if there's a new rule implemented in the off season, or if you hear there's going to be an emphasis on an existing rule or a new emphasis on an existing rule, how do you as a coaching staff handle the teaching of that? Is that something that starts right away, or do you have to see how the rule is going to be called in season?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, and probably a little bit of both. It depends on what the rule is. I mean, if it's a clear-cut rule that's going to change, you know, the kickoffs from the 30 to 35, well, there's, you know, that's pretty cut and dry. But, you know, if it's a rule that maybe has some gray area, or a rule that's not a rule change, which is pretty common, you know, the league does this every year. It doesn't change a rule. It just says we're going to emphasize it differently. Well, I don't really know what that means, because, you know, we've tried to play by the rules from the beginning. So we're not, you know, we're trying to play within the rules, but now they're saying they're going to emphasize the rule differently. I mean, I don't really know what that means. And so I think you definitely have to get to training camp to, or not training camp, but the preseason, or in some cases the regular season, you know, to see how that's going to be. You know, for example, things like, you know, we're going to put an emphasis this year on the tackles being up on the line of scrimmage. Well, you know, that rule's been in place for decades about, you know, what his alignment, where he has to be, whether he's, you know, breaking the belt of the center and so forth. I mean, it's been modified, but whatever it is, that's been there for a long time. So now we're going to really emphasize that. We're really going to emphasize the wide receiver's alignments, or, you know, we're really going to emphasize, you know, defenders getting their hands on receivers past 5 yards. Well, I mean, those rules haven't changed. What's a change of emphasis? I mean, I don't really know what that means. So I think we'll have to see. Maybe we'll see that in preseason, or maybe we'll see it in the regular season. Because, I mean, preseason, that's another whole, you know, it is but it isn't. So, but that's, you know, the ones that are cut and dried, you know, we'll just accept them for what they are. The ones that are, like the we've changed the shade of gray from light to dark, or dark to light, or whatever. I think there's a little bit of, you know, seeing what that is. Now, that being said, that's kind of the way it is every week in the NFL anyway. I mean, you know, we go out there and basically try to play the same every week. You know, it's not like we change our techniques or any other team does. You know, and you'll see a game 1 week that has, you know, 19 penalties, and the next week you'll see a game that has 8 penalties, and is one team fouling a lot more, or is it being called a little bit differently? You know, I don't know, but I think some of that is just, you know, and we see it in all sports. I'm not singling out football. So some of that's just as the game gets going, just understanding that this is going to be called tight, or, you know, they're going to kind of let them play today, or, you know, so that's a little bit figuring it out on the run.
Do you have officials coming in anytime soon?
Oh, yeah, they'll be here in training camp.
Set out dates or anything like that?
The Philadelphia week.
So I guess, and just as kind of a follow-up to Phil's question, is that maybe your first look to see what the rules emphasis might really be?
Well, we've already had the literature from them and some film clips. We've met with Dean in the spring, and he's gone over the rule changes and modifications and points emphasis and things like that. So we've already talked about those. But again, it's a little different to have a discussion between two people who even don't play, and, you know, who one is calling it, the other's coaching it, but then to actually have players go out there and execute it, and for them to understand what, you know, what the transition, or what the line of demarcation is between a foul and not a foul and that type of thing. So, yeah, we've talked about some of the things that are a little bit different. And, you know, we, part of what we do with the rookies, which is, you know, a big thing, is to make sure that, you know, in part of their orientation process, that we teach them the difference between college and pro rules, which there are a lot of significant differences, particularly in the kicking game. So that's, you know, learning the rules, that's that's part of, you know, our job, and it's also an advantage for us if we can utilize the rules to our advantage. So we do that, and then we try to kind of re-educate the veteran players as we, you know, as the rules get modified or when the officials come in, we talk about them. But it doesn't look like there's going to be a, you know, big drastic change on that. Okay.